It is said the gospel is meant to afflict the comfortable and comfort the afflicted. I think today's gospel accomplishes this as it addresses the issue of authority and who does the will of God. The context of this passage in the Gospel of Matthew is this. In this chapter is his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, which could easily be seen as mocking the emperor. Perhaps it was. Followed by the cleansing of the temple, also known as the temple tantrum, where Jesus drove out all who were selling and buying in the temple and turning over the tables of the money changers. Major disruption. So is it any wonder when he returned to the temple, the chief priests and the elders had this question: by what authority are you doing these things? Jesus answers this question with a question about John the Baptist. Chief priests and elders, not fans of John, but John was able to get traction in the spiritual lives of folks for whom the status quo at the temple wasn't cutting it. John's message was this: repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight his path. John's message of repentance indeed had the effect of turning people's lives around. For the word repent means to turn. And that's what happens in the parable Jesus tells, which begins with, what do you think? A man had two sons. And he went to the first and said, go work in the vineyard. He said, I will not, but later changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same. He answered, I go, sir, but he did not go. Which did the will of the father? This time the chief priests and the scribes don't need to deliberate. The answer is clear: the first. The first son, while initially disobedient, changes his mind. He repents. He turns. And then does the will of his father. Now, at this point in the gospel, part of me wishes that Jesus had praised them for getting it right. So I'm an encourager. That's one of my spiritual gifts. I encourage people. But like the best of coaches, in this moment, Jesus instructs me as well. So Jesus, he knows, he's the great coach, right? He knows his players and coaches them in the right way, a way that can be heard, that challenges, motivates, and pushes them toward the goal. He goes further in his teaching and closes in on the heart of the issue with the effect of afflicting the comfortable and comforting the afflicted. See, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of these religious leaders because the tax collectors and the prostitutes know their need for God. They know their need to repent. Unlike the chief priests and scribes, the tax collectors and the prostitutes' sins are out there for everyone to see. Tax collectors of Jesus' day, not the same thing as modern-day IRS public servants who follow tax codes passed by Congress. You see, tax collectors of Jesus' time were allowed to collect as much as they could by any means that they could, above the stated Roman tax rate. Tax collectors were continually exploiting people in offensive ways. And prostitutes, this is not Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman. No. This is not the ideal lifestyle, and few pursue it intentionally. Then, as in now, most do it out of pure desperation. So for these tax collectors and prostitutes, their sins are on display. But those of the religious leaders are cloaked, allowing them perhaps to deceive even themselves and not be able to receive John's message of repentance or Jesus' good news that God's desire is to heal and forgive and bring every single child of God, that is us and everyone, closer to the heart of God. That we belong in God's loving embrace, and that God wants us to turn toward Him. And then put us to work in the vineyard. And then in sharing this good news with others, we will know joy. God's love is the ultimate authority. And when each of us realize our absolute dependence upon God, we enter the kingdom. May that happen, even now. Amen.